Iman is a composite. The blockages, the conversations, the doors that closed are real, and they are closing across London now. This is their story. In northwest London, qualified physiotherapists cannot reach the NHS wards where patients wait months for treatment, while training centres with empty places and equipped rooms stand idle. The work exists, the people exist, the facilities exist, but Treasury spending limits keep them apart. This is E.E. Mann's account from Brent West, among the most deprived constituencies in England.
My mum's back seized up for the last time in 2017. 23 years of cleaning office buildings before dawn, hauling vacuum cleaners upstairs that never had lifts, bending over desks that were built for people half her height. She couldn't afford private physiotherapy, couldn't take time off for NHS appointments that were booked 3 months ahead. I watched her move through our Harleston flat like she was carrying invisible weights, and I knew what I wanted to do with my life. I finished my physiotherapy degree at Brunel in 2018. My dad drove me to graduation in his minicab, the one with the torn seat that he couldn't afford to fix. He told me he was proud that I would help people like Mum who never got help when they needed it. For 2 years, I worked in private clinics in Marylebone and Hampstead, learning how to treat people who could pay £80 for a 40-minute session. But every patient I saw reminded me of the people who couldn't walk through those doors. The real work was waiting for me in the NHS. In early 2019, I started applying for Band 5 physiotherapist positions across northwest London. I sent applications to Northwest London NHS Trust and Central and Northwest London NHS Foundation Trust. The automated responses came back quickly, but they all said the same thing. Both trusts had frozen recruitment. The HR department at Northwest London was direct when I called. Budget constraints from NHS England mean we cannot take on new staff this year. At Central and Northwest London, the workforce manager told me, we have 27 unfilled physiotherapy positions, but Treasury spending limits prevent us from recruiting. I didn't question it. It sounded reasonable. The NHS was under pressure. Everyone knew that. Money was tight. Everyone said so. I applied to smaller practices instead, but they all wanted NHS experience I couldn't get. The circle seemed complete. I couldn't get NHS work without NHS experience. Couldn't get NHS experience without NHS work. I decided to make myself more competitive. In late 2019, I contacted Health Education England about additional training in musculoskeletal physiotherapy, the specialism that could have helped my mum. The response came from their workforce development team. Treasury spending limits mean we cannot fund new training cohorts this year. Again, I accepted it. The government was being careful with public money. That's what responsible governments did. I took temporary work in a private clinic in Wembley, close enough to home that I could help with Mum's care. The clinic saw construction workers with back injuries who paid out of pocket because they couldn't wait for NHS appointments. Warehouse staff with repetitive strain injuries from shifts that never let up. Office cleaners like my mum, whose employers offered no occupational health support. Every day, I treated people who were paying for care that should have been free at the point of use. In 2021, something changed my understanding completely. A friend from university was working as a receptionist at Northwick Park Hospital. She mentioned, almost in passing, that the physiotherapy training center there was barely half full. I thought she meant applications were down. When I visited the next week, I discovered something that made no sense. The training center had 40 empty places on their postgraduate courses. Fully equipped treatment rooms sat unused 3 days a week. I walked through corridors lined with exercise equipment, ultrasound machines, and assessment tables that no one was learning to use. The course coordinator, Dr. Sarah Mitchell, showed me around. "We have qualified applicants," she told me. "People with the grades, the motivation, the clinical experience, but we have no funding allocation from Health Education England to fill these places." I asked her to repeat that. "The people exist," she said. "The equipment exists, The teaching staff exist, but there is no funding to connect them. I stood in that empty training room and felt something shift. If the people existed, and the building existed, and the need existed, what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that prints the pound had chosen not to spend the pounds that would put these students in these chairs, learning to treat the patients who were waiting for care. I started asking different questions. Why were there 27 unfilled physiotherapy positions at Central and Northwest London NHS Foundation Trust, while there were 40 empty training places 10 miles away at Northwick Park? Why was the Treasury setting spending limits as though pounds were a finite natural resource when the Bank of England creates them with keystrokes? I spoke to other physiotherapy graduates who were stuck in the same loop. Qualified people working in private clinics or taking agency shifts because permanent NHS positions were frozen. Meanwhile, NHS waiting lists for physiotherapy stretched longer every month. The constraint was never the availability of trained staff or the existence of clinical need. The constraint was a political decision to limit NHS spending as though the UK government might run out of its own currency. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. Now I work agency shifts across northwest London, filling gaps in a system that claims it cannot afford to fill them permanently. Every ward I work on, every patient I treat, every colleague I meet confirms what I learned in that empty training room. The resources exist, the need exists. The only thing missing is the political will to connect them, and that is not my failure or my generation's failure. It is the failure of an ideology that treats public investment as a burden rather than as the means by which a wealthy country delivers care to its people.
What Iman experienced has a name: impossible expectations. This technique demands a guarantee of zero waste or perfect outcomes before committing a single pound to public investment, a standard never applied to tax cuts or bank bailouts. It works like demanding that every medical treatment must guarantee a cure before any doctor can be trained, or requiring every teacher to promise that no child will ever struggle before any school can open. The impossible expectation in E. E. Mann's case was the demand for fiscal perfection in NHS workforce planning. Health Education England and NHS England operated as though every pound spent on training physiotherapists must deliver measurable returns within a single budget cycle, with no allowance for the learning curves, regional variations, or career changes that define any human workforce. Meanwhile, Treasury spending on corporate tax relief requires no such guarantees. When critics claim the NHS is a bottomless pit, we cannot keep throwing money at it. They are setting an impossible standard where no amount of evidence of need is ever sufficient. No service is bottomless. NHS costs are measurable. The UK spends less per capita on health than France, Germany, or the Netherlands. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. In E. E. Mann's case, those resources were sitting idle in empty training centres while NHS wards went understaffed. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Brent West ranks 135 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation, placing it in decile 3 of the English indices of deprivation. 2025, published by MHCLG. The constituency has 659 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £21.5 million, as recorded in 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional, every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.